everyone, I'm Troy Dodds, and welcome to this special Western Weekender podcast as we preview the 2023 NRL Grand Final between the Penrith Panthers and the Brisbane Broncos. Penrith sit on the doorstep of destiny, 80 minutes away from an historic NRL Premiership three-peat. Ivan Cleary's side is just the fifth team to make four consecutive deciders since Grand Finals became mandatory in 1954. In their way, a young and energetic Brisbane Broncos, guided around the park by an experienced premiership winner in Adam Reynolds. It's a huge game and a huge week ahead. To preview it all, I'm joined by the Weekender's senior rugby league writer and deputy editor, Nathan Taylor. G'day, Nathan.
G'day, Troy.
We'll make welcome the studio audience as well. There you go. They're here today. Good to have them here. We are going to preview, of course, the grand final. It's an exciting week ahead. Penrith are through. We will let everyone know, though, you've got some big news at the end of the podcast.
I do. It's quite scandalous. So wait to the end and you'll find out.
Well, it is grand final related, I presume.
Of course.
All right. Very good. All right. Well, let's just briefly talk, first of all, about this grand final, before we get into having a look at the two prelims. Penrith Brisbane, it's the grand final we probably expected. What are your early thoughts a week out?
I'm nervous. Obviously, watching Brisbane on Saturday night do what they did to the Warriors, it did send shivers down my spine. But then you've got to sort of bring it back and remember that Penrith is just as good as well, and have been there on many occasions now. And hopefully the defence can stand up on the big day next week.
I think there's no doubt that that we thought we were going to get this Penrith and Brisbane, but everyone was a little bit nervous. And of course, you know, both the Storm and the Warriors, for different reasons, people gave both of those teams a hope. In the end, though, we've ended up with the two best teams in the competition all season.
That's right, and both teams finished on the same amount of competition points at the end of the regular season. There wasn't much in it in terms of the attack as well. I know Penrith had quite a big of a gap in the defensive standings in the end, but there isn't much in between these two sides for sure.
All right, well, let's go back and talk the two prelims before we really get into the guts of the grand final this week. Penrith, of course, a huge victory over the Melbourne Storm on Friday night, a rare Friday prelim. We haven't really been used to that in recent times. But yeah, it was an impressive victory from the Panthers, 38 points to 4 at Accor Stadium. The Panthers started well. Brian To'o scored in the opening minutes, but Melbourne hit back a few minutes later. Looked like it was going to be a pretty even contest, but then the Panthers really put the foot down.
Yeah, it was an outstanding game. Didn't go how I expected leading into it. I thought it would be a close final, as a lot of people did, because you just don't know what Melbourne's going to toss up on a day like that. But yeah, watching Penrith again, it had been a few weeks since we'd seen them. And yeah, we really got to see the best of the best on show on Friday night. It was great to watch. I mean, at halftime, I was pretty confident at 18-4 that they would hang on, because you know that they don't let too many tries in on regular days either. So I didn't think they were going to do that in a final.
And just a pretty clinical performance all round, really. You know, everything you'd expect from Penrith. A great forward showing. Nathan Cleary, sensational, of course. And Jerome Luai, that shoulder, yeah, got through, played 60-odd minutes. All the talk beforehand was that he may not survive the game and get through it. Yeah. But he got there, and look, it didn't. It certainly appeared to bother him post-game when you saw all the pictures and some of the video footage. But while you were watching it live, it didn't appear to be hampering him too much.
Yeah, I guess he was out there with adrenaline during the game and it probably didn't, you know, think about it too much. But that would have gave him so much confidence getting through that game. And I have no doubt that he'll be there again on Sunday. He might be, you know, feeling the same effects, but he's just played 60 minutes of footy for the first time in a month. He would have got battered a bit as well. So let's remember that. And Isaac Tago too, it was his first game in a while as well. I think it was his first game in second game in 9 weeks or something like that. So, yeah, he did let in that first try. It was a bit rusty, but he got a lot better towards the end too.
All right, let's just listen to some audio. This is Ivan Cleary post-game, just his take on that victory over the Storm.
Yeah, it's hard to explain, actually. I don't know if it's really hit me yet. It's so hard to make any grand final. So I'm sort of trying to think along those lines at the moment rather than the rest, because the rest is like there's so many people involved, so many people that aren't even at our club anymore, but they've all had such an input into players and staff and coaches, and so that's one thing. But just for this group and this year and just the season we've had, and just to be able to go out and deliver, you know, that sort of performance where it wasn't all perfect by any stretch, but we just worked it out and found a way. And yeah, I don't know, I'm just very, very proud of everyone at the club, particularly the players, and just really looking forward to next week.
So Panthers coach Ivan Cleary there. Now, what I was really interested in, I think that Ivan Cleary's press conference was the shortest of all four of the teams involved in the preliminary finals over the weekend. Yeah. Sometimes these press conferences, particularly after a prelim, go for 10, 15 minutes. But I guess we've all been here and seen Penrith do this before. There was not much to say other than we got where we expected to get.
Yeah, I was quite surprised. I think Lara Pitt was the only one that asked questions.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They didn't hear anyone else, which was quite unusual. So, yeah, of course. I mean, what else is there to ask? They have all been there before. It, you know, they're so experienced at this time of year. So I guess there wasn't too much they needed to get out of Ivan and in terms of his thoughts and emotions because, yeah, they have all been there before.
Well, talking of the quiet reaction, here is just the last couple of minutes or the last minute or so from Channel 9 broadcast, Channel 9's broadcast on Friday night. Have a listen to this.
And that is an awesome foursome for Penrith. They are through. And a chance to make it a three-peat in 2023. It's a pretty low-key reaction. They know the real business is Sunday week.
Now, the key from that is Matt Thompson saying how much of a low-key celebration it was. Because sometimes in a prelim, once full-time goes, it's almost like the celebrations are up there with, you know, potentially winning a grand final, the way that teams often react. And that's fair enough. You've got to the grand final after such a grueling season. But we didn't see that from Penrith. It was all business because they know that the task is really next week.
That's right. And I think that's the second year in a row, too, that has been a low-key celebration. I remember last year when they beat Souths, they were up by a fair margin at full time, so they didn't really celebrate much either. I think the year before against the Storm, it was quite close right to the end, so it was very much relief and excitement. But yeah, I noticed the same thing. I think the crowd too. I was in the Panthers Bay. We're all excited that they made it another one. But I was saying to Peter Lang, who I was sitting with during the game, it was like, you know, we weren't jumping for joy and cheering like we usually would. It's like, I don't know, it's maybe because we've been there before, you know, you're right, the Panthers have one more job to do and they know that. So, yeah, it was interesting how things panned out at the full-time siren.
Yeah, and probably, I guess, it's the reaction you want to see, I guess, because you want them to be focused on next week. And that, I think, will be the two differences between the two teams, for sure, this week will be that Penrith has been there and done all of this before. Brisbane, this team is experiencing it all for the first time.
They are, for sure. And I think Penrith have a distinct advantage in, you know, they've played at ANZ Stadium how many times over the last few years in big games, you know, so many. That stadium is like a second home to them. So, and Brisbane, I'm not sure how many times they've been there recently, and especially not on a big semi-final. So, it's gonna be interesting to see, how the week pans out in terms of media coverage and things like that. But you're right, there's plenty of storylines, let me tell you, leading into the grand final. But it'd be interesting to see how Brisbane handle a week like this, considering pretty much only a couple of players have only been there before.
Now, talking of Brisbane, as we get onto the second prelim, of course, a big victory for them over the Warriors. Both prelims blew out in the end, which I guess you could have predicted, but it was a shame we didn't get a close game there somewhere. But 42 points to 12, although the first half, you really thought the Warriors were a big hope.
Well, that's right. If it wasn't for the goal kicking by Pompey, that they might have had it might have been a bit closer than we thought, you know. They did score three tries of the Warriors, but they missed three goals as well. So, it was try for try there for the first, you know, half an hour or so. And then Brisbane sort of settled in and got a bit of a head there with their good goal kicking. And, they ran away with it.
Yeah, certainly the Warriors' defence very much let them down, particularly in that lead up to half-time. The Warriors probably should have grabbed another try there somewhere. But basically, whenever the Warriors seemed to get on top, Brisbane had hit straight back.
Yeah, that's right. You know, of course, would love to have seen the Warriors, you know, get one more win. That would have been great for the game and for, you know, New Zealand and their supporters to get to the end. But just not good enough this year, but a great season by them for sure.
All right, well, there it is. So the Brisbane Broncos 42, the Warriors 12, and in the other prelim, the Panthers 38, defeating the Melbourne Storm 4. Two of the biggest prelim margins, I think, in the NRL era. So That just shows you how dominant these two teams have been throughout the year. And you only have to look at the ladder to realise that. Of course, Penrith and Brisbane both finished on the same amount of wins, 18 wins, 42 competition points. It's only Penrith's for and against that is different. And defence, I guess, the key, because if you look at one of the key stats, Penrith scored 645 points in the season. Brisbane 639. So attack-wise, very similar teams. But that difference comes with defence, of course. Penrith only conceding 312 points this season, 425 for Brisbane. All right, let's have a look at some of the key reasons that we believe Penrith can win and make it a three-peat, and some of the reasons that Penrith can lose on Sunday night. Let's look at the reasons why they win. Why can Penrith win this one?
They've been there before. Experience, their defence. You know, there's quite a few solid ones there. They know ANZ, Acor Stadium at like the back of their hand. They've been there on grand final day. I believe they've got the best coach out of the two. They've got the best halfback. They do have the best players, in my opinion. So I think that will go a long way to, you know, hoping that Penrith get a third premiership in a row.
I think in that sense, it's not just about the experience necessarily in that 80 minutes either. The lead up is sometimes we can win and lose grand finals. Yes. We know this. And the fact that Penrith get to do it all from their home base in Sydney, you know, they don't have to attend. You know, of course, you've got the Dally M's on Wednesday night. You've got Fan Fest and you've got all of these. Yeah. You know, there'll be a press conference at some point, like a big press conference. Penrith do all of that from the comfort of Sydney. Brisbane have to travel to do that. Brisbane have to go through a week that's, you know, just not as... Mm-hmm. smooth as it normally is. And of course, on grand final day, those nerves, Penrith know exactly what to expect. So I think you're right, the experience will be a key factor.
Yeah, and just look what Parramatta did last year, even not training at Acor Stadium the day before the game. Like Brad Arthur just thought, nah, it's just another game. We'll just train in Kellyville or something like that. So, you know, just little things like that where Penrith have learnt over the years what works for them and what works to win big matches. Let's see if Brisbane, you know, figure those out as well from, you know, 1,000 kilometres up the road, who knows?
A few people have mentioned as well that this Brisbane side, you could make some comparisons to the Penrith team of 2020, which, of course, was heavily favoured to win the grand final, but went down to Melbourne and indeed just got totally overawed by the occasion. The occasion got to them. So there's a lot of talk about Brisbane being in that same boat as well, because they have a lot of these players that are big personalities, exciting young players coming through. But, you know, can they withstand Penrith? If Penrith go up 6-12-0, it could be over for them.
Yeah, well, Penrith looked unstoppable in 2020. They were on a, I don't know, 17-18 game winning streak heading to the grand final. And, of course, the game that they needed to win, they lost because they came up against a team that had been there before. You had Cameron Smith. You had all those guys that were, you know, that were so experienced in grand finals. And while Penrith did come back in that game, you know, we all knew, except for our friend Gus, that things were over at halftime. It wasn't looking good. So yeah, I mean, Brisbane, same thing. They're in red hot form. Their attack is sensational. But let's see how they go against a team that's got the best defence in the history of the game, basically.
Yeah, and I think that's the other reason in the why Penrith can win category. It does come down to defence. You know, winning any game really comes down to defence. But we talk about Penrith's incredible defensive record. You know, again, conceding what we've conceded two tries across the entire final series. you know, and Brisbane, don't get me wrong, Brisbane in the same boat, almost there, only conceding three. Yeah. But just that defence is just so, so good. And if, you know, for Brisbane to win, you would need a low-scoring game, really, because Penrith are not going to concede three, four, five tries.
For sure. And just look at the games that they came up against each other this year. I think round one, there was 1 point in it, a couple of tries. Then later on in the season, Penrith won, but it was quite a low-scoring affair, 15-4 or something like that. It was quite low-scoring. So, yeah, that just proves that, you know, both sides are excellent in what they do, and, yeah, we could be in for another close one again.
What about on the other side of the fence? Why can Penrith lose this? Why can Brisbane win the grand final on Sunday night and stop the three-peat?
Because Brisbane are just young and they're confident and they're looks like nothing scares them at the moment. They're just on fire. That they play so fast. You would have seen last night, like, some of their players are guns. You know, Reece Walsh and, you know, Tony Staggs and all those guys. You know, they've got something. They've got a bit of an X factor about them. And you know, that could trip Penrith up, you know. You just don't know. Maybe that will break down their defence, just that free-flowing football that they play. And, you know, and Penrith will have the desire to win, and that's it. I'm not saying that's going to stop them from winning. You know, if they've won a couple of times before, they don't care. Oh, no, they care. They definitely care, and they want to win three in a row and create history. Those players are determined. They're some of the smartest players in the game, so I don't think that will deter them at all. But just Brisbane's youth and exuberance, I think, you never know. Could prove pivotal on Sunday.
I think too, Brisbane's offloading game against the Warriors was pretty impressive, and a couple of times this year, teams that have thrown the ball around against Penrith have troubled them. Remember there was that Manly game late in the season at Four Pines Park where their plan was just, we are going to throw the ball around and see what happens, and Penrith struggled to contain that a lot. They eventually got the win, but they struggled to deal with that. Brisbane, you're right, they're very quick, but with combined with that offloading game, look, they pose a big threat.
Oh, they sure do. And don't forget to mention, they've got so many international and state of origin players as well. So, well, Penrith do too, so do they. And, you know, they know what it's like to play, you know, in big games and how to win big games too. So, yeah, it's going to be an exciting matchup for sure.
In terms of why Brisbane can win this as well, I think a guy with the number 7 on his back probably is part of that as well, in Adam Reynolds. He's been here before. He, of course, won the comp with South Sydney in 2014. Do you think he also has a little bit of revenge in the back of his mind, of course, after he was part of that South Sydney side that went down to Penrith in the 2021 grand final, robbed him of his second premiership?
I definitely think that's going to be one of the storylines this week. You know, Adam Reynolds had a chance to tie the game up with a conversion on the sideline. You know, towards the end of that match at Suncorp Stadium a few years ago. So, yeah, that'll be on his mind for sure. He'd love to get one back. He's probably been thinking about that day for a very long time.
Yeah, and I guess you know, there's lots of storylines in there, but we talk about that Brisbane side being very young and inexperienced, but there are some pretty experienced campaigners in there. Kirk Capewell, of course, who won the grand final with Penrith as well, is in that team. So they do match that youth with a bit of experience as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they've got a couple of guys that have won premierships before, but like I said, the majority of them haven't. The majority of them, this was their first final series as well. Like, they hadn't really played in that. I don't know if there's anyone from that 20, was it 15 grand final? I don't know if there's anyone around from back then. So, this is a whole new beast for the Broncos, and they're not playing at Suncorp anymore. They played 19 games in Brisbane or in Queensland this whole season. They're coming to Sydney. Things are a little bit different down here. So let's see how confident they are next Sunday.
And of course, just like Penrith in 2020, just to add another comparison, they would have to do it having not made the finals the previous year.
Yeah.
So it would be a pretty big ask, and the whole lose one to win one scenario probably does come into it for Brisbane. But I think what we can agree on is defence, at the end of the day, is why Penrith can win it, but Brisbane's offloading an attack game is why they can win it. So that probably lands us in a pretty exciting grand final on Sunday night. All right, now we have done this for a few years now. We have covered the Panthers premierships in 2021 and 2022, and of course the 2020 season as well. And you go to Panthers training every week. You speak to players. Those feature interviews, of course, run every single week in extra time and online as well. So you have sort of watched these players over the last 4 years, and I thought that would provide us a bit of a unique insight. If you could just give us a bit of a recap, your insight into what has been different each season and how these players have grown in that 4 years since 2020.
Yeah, well, they just seem to have matured over the years. You know, obviously in 2020 everything was so new and exciting to them, and everything was so fresh, and even for me as well, I'd never covered a grand final either, so it was quite exciting on my part too. And just, you know, those players were sort of feeling the same. But 2021 was a little bit different because we sort of did it over Zoom, so we didn't really get to know the players or see them too well that year because they were up on the Sunshine Coast and we were at home actually covering the game and, indeed, you know, having our iPads out and talking to the players over there. So, and that was a little bit different. I think that, you know, the pressure was sort of on that year after losing the year before. And I think the boys, you know, really wanted to get over the hump that year. And, I sort of noticed that in their eyes then. And then when they won and then they came back for the back-to-back premierships last year, that was you saw another side of them too, because, you know, that was an extra bit of history that they wanted to go back-to-back. Mm. And, you know, and now on this occasion, when I spoke to them last week, I think last Sunday, they did at a media session, they just looked so focused. Mitch Kenny was just, his eyes were on the job. And they just seem so experienced now, and they know what the weeks are like compared to, you know, it's all been different every year, right? Mm. Like 2020 was a bit COVID interrupted, yes, as yep, well.
It was indeed.
21, you know, we're all on Zoom.
Like, I mean, 2021, we actually didn't know if the game was going ahead until 12 hours before kickoff.
Like, I mean, that's right. Yeah, they reduced the crowd as well.
Crazy.
At one point, that people couldn't go. So every sort of campaign has been very different for the players and for the media that's covered them as well. But, you know, and while the players have sort of changed too, there's been a bit of turnover. You get a couple of new guys every year that are experiencing this for the first time as well, which is nice to see. So you've got that bit of excitement there still. While the job is still the same and the task at hand is still the same, you know, you do get those added elements of those little bit things a little bit different every year. You know, Taruva, you know, he's going to be going into his first final. It's tough to talk to him this week and how excited he is to play in a grand final. Lindsay Smith as well, you know, these guys that have been part of that squad and watched from afar, you know, they get to experience this for the first time. But it's going to be great for them because they're going to have so many experienced guys who are playing in their fourth. Brian Toto, Nathan Cleary, Jerome Luai, Dylan Edwards, Fisher Harris, Moses Leota. As I know, they're all going to be playing in their fourth decider. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the different, you know, groups of players and how they all handle it this week.
Well, what about a couple of individuals? Jerome Luai, how has he been different when you consider back in 2020, when most people outside of Penrith actually still liked him, to now, the Jerome Luai you see in 2023?
I remember in 2020, it was probably like around this time in 2020, it was the lead up to the grand final. And Panthers did a media session at the stadium, at Bluebet Stadium, because it was still a bit COVID affected. We had to all, you know, sit a few chairs apart and everything like that. And me and Jerome spoke about what he did to relax. And he spoke of his love for computer games and video games. I'm not sure if he plays them anymore. He's got like three kids running around. But we spoke about that week and, you know, what he was going to do that week to relax and, you know, just take his mind off things. And it was, sitting in front of his computer playing video games. The Jerome now is a little bit different. You know, he's a father of three. He's, you know, people love to hate him as well, and you know, he's just a little bit of a different character now. You know, he's still the same person, but people see him a lot differently.
He's pretty battle hardened now.
He is battle hardened. Yeah. He is, and he doesn't let any rubbish get to him. He doesn't let, you know, people take him down. He's still confident. He's still, you know, he himself, you know, some of the quotes he comes out with are just, they make you smile, because you just love having guys like that on your team, guys that don't really care what others say about you, because that can get players down, that can affect them. But, you know, the stories this week about him, like, not playing and Gus saying he was a million to one chance and Nathan Gibbs, while he's a respected doctor, of course, you know, he's not his doctor. He hadn't seen Jerome's scans, but he was saying, you know, this was very risky and you shouldn't play. And I don't know. It's just, it's a funny one, right? Like, but yeah, Jerome's been there before, and that's one person I'd love to have on my team in a grand final.
And what about his Haas partner in Nathan Cleary? Obviously, he's grown immensely in the last 4 years, but what have you noticed about him and how much has changed in that regard?
Just in his desire to get better every week and to, you know, and just now you can just trust him to win you a game. And not that you couldn't years ago, but he's just playing so well right now, and everyone just can't get enough of how good he's going. And I think that loss in 2020 where, you know, he had a few errors in that game and things didn't go so well, I think that, you know, that made him want to become a better player and he's certainly done that. Like, as I said, like, I tweet this all the time, but last Sunday, like, they were at training, and again, he was the last one off the field. Like, everyone else was doing media, and he was still out there with his shirt off, kicking the ball around and just wanting to get better. And that's why he will probably be one of the best players we'll ever see, because, you know, he's just, he's a footy head. He loves the history of the game, and he wants to, he said in multiple interviews, he wants to be the greatest of all time. And he's the sort of person that can certainly do that, because he's just got that drive, and he lives for it, and he lives for those you know, achievements and milestones. And, you know, he's another one that, you know, we're so grateful we've got him.
Yeah, look, a lot of history in the playing group, but also history in the coach's box as well. Ivan Cleary, now, hasn't he changed a lot, really, when you think about the Ivan Cleary that we used to deal with his first stint at Penrith, and even the one that came back. He will say that there was, you know, he didn't really think about, or that there wasn't much pressure around this, what was a 369-game stint without a premiership.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, he finally got it in 2021, and that seems to have just almost changed Ivan in many ways. He is now a very, like, he was always pretty laid back and relaxed, but he is super laid back and relaxed, and there's probably no one better to be guiding Penrith through this period, because he just knows what his players need from him to do it, and nothing extra, nothing like over the top or whatever else. It's you know, been a pretty dynamic run for Ivan, and he's changed pretty significantly, but he gets a slice at history as well, you know, to guide a team to three straight premierships.
Oh, yeah, he's the perfect coach for this side, and as you said, you can see just even in the press conferences of the last few weeks, you know, just how relaxed he is and how he jokes a bit with the media, and, you know, he used to be a bit stiff and a bit serious, but, you know, now he, you know, thinks about his answers and he just provides a bit more insight, whereas before he was just a bit straighty 180, and not that, you know, that's a problem, but, you know, you can just tell he's a bit more relaxed, he's been there, he knows how to handle the media, he knows how to answer questions, but he does it in a polite and a nice way. He's not rude like some other coaches can be, and yeah, he's certainly, you know, changed a lot over the years, and I think that's a good thing for obviously the fans, and so we get a bit more of an insight into what he's like, and I think the players, you know, see that side of him too.
Yeah, showed a lot of other coaches how to do it in a lot of ways. Sure. All right, let's have a look at how the grand final week is going to unfold and what we can expect. And also, we'll give you some insight into grand final day itself. But first of all, Nathan, we know we've got this open training session at BlueBet Stadium on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a great opportunity for people to get out there in the middle of the school holidays and see the boys training grand final week. On Tuesday, I think at 10 o'clock, the gates open.
Yeah, that's right. They did a very similar one last year, I think, on a Tuesday. And I remember the place being, you know, absolutely packed. There would have been 5,000 people there, maybe more, I'm not sure. But, yeah, it's a great opportunity for fans to watch the boys go around, and you know, and I know the players love, you know, getting out there and seeing all the support, and usually after it they the players hang around and get signed autographs, you know they go around the field and get selfies. I remember last year security couldn't get Nathan Cleary off the field. He was just so popular out there, and that they tried and he's like, no, I'm gonna keep going. So yeah, if you can get down there, if you can get the day off, or you get the morning off, definitely go down there and watch, because I know the players love the support, and it gives them a huge boost heading into the grand final.
Now, we've got the Dally M Awards on Wednesday night, of course, happening in Sydney. Now, we're going to see a lot of Panthers nominated. I'll just quickly run through them. Fullback of the Year, Dylan Edwards, in that category. Brian To'o nominated for Winger of the Year. Both Isaac Tago and Stephen Crichton nominated for Centre of the Year. Nathan Cleary for Halfback of the Year. James Fisher-Harris for Prop of the Year. Liam Martin for Second Rower of the Year. Isaiah Yeo for Lock of the Year. Ivan Cleary for Coach of the Year. Isaiah Yeo for Captain of the Year. Sunia Taruva for Rookie of the Year, and also he's nominated too for Try of the Year.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
There's a lot of nominees there. I guess, how many are you expecting Penrith win there?
Look, I can see them picking up half, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think they're all a given, but there's certainly half there that I think, you know, Brian To'o and Stephen Crichton for sure, James Fisher-Harris. I think Liam Martin, definitely. Isaiah Yeo, certainly in a good shot there to get Lock of the Year. I think halfback will probably go to Sean Johnson, because if he's going
to
take the Dally M, it'd be
quite
strange if he doesn't get the halfback. We still know who the best halfback in the game is, but this is how things work in the Dally M Awards. Fullback of the Year is going to be an interesting one, because Edwards is up against Ponga and Tedesco, right?
Yep.
I don't think Tedesco has a chance in hell, but Ponga certainly would have picked up a lot of points there towards the back end of the season when Newcastle went on that run, so that could be a close one.
Yeah, we've got to remember too, while Sean Johnson is the favourite to win, we could see something a bit weird this year, because this is the first time we've seen this new system where we had two independent judges giving out 3s, 2s, and 1s on every game. So we had 6 points available in each game. So it could just shake things up a little bit. But that's live on Wednesday night on Fox League. We'll also have a live blog on the Western Weekender website, so you can follow all of that, and we'll have all the pictures of the Panthers players and their partners and all of that sort of stuff happening on Wednesday night. Now, you've got the Fan Fest happening in the city across the week as well, but then we get to Grand Final Day. I've got the event schedule for you for those who are heading out.
Stand by.
Yeah, we've got gates opening at 1 o'clock at Accor Stadium, so if you're up for a big day, get out there for gates opening at 1 o'clock. 1:20 will be the kickoff for the state championship, 3:55 the NRLW Grand Final, and then at 7:30... the NRL Grand Final, which will probably be more about 7:38 or 7:40 or something like that. Now, of course, if you are going by train, that is included in your ticket price, if you've got your tickets there. So that's probably the smart way to do it, because parking will definitely sell out. You'll definitely need to pre-book parking for that one. Now, of course, the Grand Final entertainment has already been locked in, the Tina Turner musical. What did you think of this? This was a split some opinions.
Well, I haven't seen the Tina musical, so I'm not sure how, you know, good of a production it is. I've heard it's outstanding. Is it Grand Final Day? I'm not sure if it is or not. I mean, I guess the whole Tina Turner passing away earlier this year and Tina being such a big part of, you know, rugby league, I can see why they've decided to go with that. I'm sure it'll be great. I'm sure they'll put a fantastic show on, but I don't know. I like to see the big the acts come out, which they don't do any much more for rugby league.
I did find it interesting that when Tina Turner did pass away earlier this year, there was all this pressure on the NRL at that time. There was like, oh, you've got to, you know, the Grand Final Day should be all focused on this. And then they come and announce it, and then it's up splitting it.
I think it's got a place on Grand Final Day. Should it be the big act? Could it be a halftime thing? Could it be just part of a, you know, of the day? But it sounds like this is the act. This is the headline act.
Yep.
And, simply the best, hey?
Now, a few other things happening on Grand Final Day you need to be aware of, Nathan. Okay. You've got your old footy hanging around at home, I'm sure.
Oztag footies, yep.
All good. Bring it in. Bring it to the Grand Final because you will be able to trade it in for a brand new NRL football. That's right. Or an NRLW football, if you'd prefer. So there will be a limited number of footies to give away. It is limited to one ball per person, so you can't just rock up with a bag of footies. Aww. But rock up to the Grand Final with your old ball, and you'll get a brand new one thanks to Westpac. In addition to that, they've got the Telstra Activation Hub. All this is happening outside the precinct, so you can get there early and experience some of this stuff as well.
Okay.
So you can get your photo with the trophy.
With the trophy?
Yep, Penrith are going to lend it to the NRL for another hour or two.
Okay.
And you get your photo with the trophy.
That's cool.
And you'll be able to commentate on your favourite NRL moments. The Telstra Activation Hub that'll be outside the ground. There's also the reaction wall that's happening. Test your reaction time, hit as many illuminated lights as possible in 30 seconds. And if you win that, you're a chance to be part of the halftime entertainment where you could win 10 grand.
So what's halftime entertainment?
Do that. Stand by on that. Okay. Now, in addition to that, inside the stadium, this is a good one because they did this for Origin. If you catch the footy, Nathan Cleary goes for touch after getting a penalty. Nathan Cleary kicks into the crowd, you keep it.
Oh.
So there's no throwing it back to the ball boys. You keep the football.
People know about that.
No,
they
would
just automatically throw it back.
They do now because they're listening to our podcast. Similar to, I guess, some of the American sports where that does happen. You'll be able to do that. So make sure if you catch a footy, you keep it. Now, Nathan, this is one for you. The boogie dance-off will be happening in the ground as well. So they're going all out, the NRL. Bust a move. And if you're a fan, you could win $1,000 worth of Bitcoin.
So, I did see that on Friday night. They had the same thing going on at Accor Stadium.
Now, also, the big KFC bucket catch is back as well. Two lucky participants will be selected from the stands to try and catch a foot in the bucket and you win some KFC. They've got the halftime dash. You wanted to know what's happening?
Yep.
In the halftime dash, there'll be a halftime obstacle course. And some lucky people from the crowd will be participating in that. So you wanted big-time entertainment, you got it. There's an obstacle course at halftime. At the Grand Final. Now, two lucky fans will also go head-to-head for the chance to win a year's worth of beer. Participants will get 3 conversion kicks, each at different distances, with the best out of 3 winning. So looking forward to that. And I'm not sure about this one. We've got the red light, yellow light activation happening. Bit of what was the show that comes from?
Squid Game.
Squid Game. 10 participants from the precinct activation will have the opportunity to participate in the red light, yellow light game at half time.
Is this all happening on the field?
Yes, a lot of this stuff is happening on the field.
Happening on that night.
Well, that's right.
Just,
you know,
all
this is going
all
out.
Paying $300 for.
Absolutely. Now, talking of ticketing, all of the details are on NRL.com, but you can still get tickets for the grand final. They do hold tickets back. They're on sale on Monday. So we've put this podcast out a bit earlier this week, so you can... soak up the week, but so if you're listening to it later, you might already be sold out. Who knows? But you can get your tickets through
Tickets. Think it sells out?
I think it will sell out. Yeah, I think the grand final sells out. It's difficult for the NRL because you've obviously got Brisbane who are out of town. Penrith aren't the biggest drawer in numbers, but I think surely your grand final.
You think
sells
it gets
out.
There in the end?
I do.
Okay.
All right. Now let's talk broadcast. For Sunday, now I tell you what, is there a radio station not broadcasting the game? Basically, ABC, Triple M, 2GB, and SEN through NRL Nation will all broadcast the game.
Which one do you
live
pick?
If you're driving around? Look, it's a tough one. You got Andrew Moore at the ABC, Ray Hadley back for I don't know what number grand final it is, but he's gearing up for getting closer to a record, I think, on 2GB, so he'll do that. Now, of course. If you are listening to us overseas, we'll get to the Channel 9 coverage in a moment here in Australia, but international coverage, of course, via the NRL app. You can get the Play NRL app, but also BIS France, they're going to be taking the game live.
Oh, beautiful.
So is Fox Netherlands, ESPN Africa, Sportsnet Canada, Sport 24 in flight, Sport 1 and Premier Sports Asia, all showing the game live as well. But you play NRL app, NRL Watch app, Watch NRL app, whatever it is, they've got it. Now, of course, the game is exclusive to Channel 9 on Sunday, NRL Grand Final Day coverage kicking off at 11 a.m. with the Sunday Footy Show. So 9 will be gearing up for a big Grand Final.
Oh, they 9 do big games and big events excellent. So I think... Grand Final Day will be no different next Sunday. I can't wait. I'm sure I'll be at the game, but, I'll watch it when I get back.
Yeah, make sure you you try and tape it because we don't know yet, but there was no DVD of last
there
year's
wasn't.
Grand Final.
No.
So you did need to...
maybe they're waiting to do a three-peat, special three-peat DVD and we'll have all 3 Grand Finals in there.
Yep.
That would be nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was very strange. First time ever that there hasn't been a Grand Final.
Yeah. Hopefully we can go back and fix that at some point. Hopefully they
can't
can
see why not.
Release it. Particularly if there's
really
a
odd.
Mate, three-peat. A three-peat collection would be really good. Now, coverage for Western Weekender on Friday or Thursday, if you're lucky enough to get one a little bit earlier, we will have a special commemorative edition for the Grand Final. So lots of stuff in that.
Yeah, we've got plenty. We're going to have player interviews. We're going to have big feature stories. We're going to... be talking to some unique individuals in the game. We're going to have the Fearless Tipsters, your preview, all sorts of columns from our great columnists as well.
Yeah,
so,
Masked Panther's ready to go.
Peter Lang, someone from Fox, I'm sure will provide one as well.
Russell's on board this
week. Doing it.
Yep.
So, plenty of insight that you won't see anywhere else for sure.
And, of course, what we want to see in Penrith this week is lots of Panthers colours out and about.
Yeah,
houses decorated.
Last night we were on the balcony at my house.
Yep.
Starting to decorate. Pick up a few more things later on today. So.
Well, I want to give a shout-out to Penrith Public School. They held a Mufti Day to show their support for the Panthers into the preliminary final, and they'll do it again this week, I'm sure, for the grand final.
Well, they're on school holidays.
Pictures here. Oh, of course, they're on school holidays. The kids will be doing that. That's why they held it last week.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So good on Penrith Public School for doing that. They've sent through some photos of that. But we want to see lots of businesses getting involved because you probably... We've done this now for 4 straight years,
you've got the gear.
You should have the
gear.
It's
like Christmas,
But in some ways, I guess you get a bit complacent when you've done this for 4 years in a row, and people might be like, do we go all out again? But we've got to do it. We've got to get behind the
team. Yeah, you never know. You might never do it again for 20 years, so...
Yep.
It's a lot of people should have their gear already. Like as I said, like you have your Christmas decorations, you have your Panthers decorations.
Yes.
You get them out every time at this time of the year. So.
And if not, I think you can probably head down to the Abco party warehouse.
I'm sure they've got plenty of
lots of gear.
Yes.
And talking of merch, of course, you can expect a whole bunch of NRL merchandise, premiership winning merchandise, to hit the shops. after the grand final. Now, last year, you actually grabbed one of the first grand final shirts because they were out before full time.
So just be prepared to have some cash ready. And yeah, they usually have them at the merchandise stands around the stadium. So hopefully that they pull out the Panthers ones and not the Brisbane ones.
Yes, let's hope so. I don't know what will be made of the other losing ones. Where do they go?
I would love to just grab your hands on one.
There is, of course, a grand final T-shirt that was officially released by the club. There's also, I guess, what you call an unofficial one, I notice. It's a Peter Wynn score as well, if you prefer that one.
Yeah.
I like the grand final shirt. Looks good, the official one.
Yeah, I love the grand final shirts. They're just a bit expensive for me.
Yeah, well, look, they are very expensive, but you just said it. You're
spend more on a T-shirt than you do on a ticket to the game sometimes.
Yes, well, I don't know. Look, there'll be a lot of stuff out post-game, as I mentioned, so you can get that through penrithpanthers.com.au or through NRL Shop. And that Weekender edition I mentioned, the commemorative edition, there's a digital version of that as well, but also we're going to have extra copies available at the Panthers merchandise shop. On Thursday, and also at Western Weekender office on Able Street as well. So you won't miss a copy of that. And also grandfinal.westernweekender.com.au if you want all of our grand final coverage in the one spot this week. Final say on what the week's going to entail. What do you feel this week's going to be like? Is there going to be big anticipation around Penrith, or is it just a little bit of complacency because, hey, this is just our typical week?
I hope it's not complacency. I hope people really get in the spirit. And I think over the years, you know, this club has generated so many more fans, so many more people are on board that they may not have used to have been. So I think hopefully with that, saying all that, you know, everyone's out in force this week, because you're right, you know, this might not happen again. And we've been very lucky to have this 4 years in a row, but no one's going to say it could happen again. We might go through a dark period, who knows? But so if that's the case, then I think everyone should go out there and eat as much Panthers related food as possible, you know, try and go to a training session, decorate your house, read and listen and watch to as much coverage as you can, because, you know, this is what every team wants to experience and every fan base wants to experience, and we've been very lucky to be able to do this 4 years in a row now. So if you can get to the grand final, definitely go, because it's the best thing you'll ever do, and if you win, it's totally worth it. So yeah, soak it all up, folks. That's all I'll suggest.
And if you can't get to the grand final, of course, every pub around Penrith is showing it, but Panthers will be doing some pretty cool stuff as well, I'm sure, on the day. In fact, I think they've got a grand final dinner happening at the club on Sunday night. So if you're not going to the game, but you kind of want to, you know, do something a bit different, you can do that. You can do the dinner on Sunday night. I think it kicks off at 5 o'clock, and then watch the game straight away. So that'd be good. We've also got the grand final lunch happening at Panthers this week. You and I will be there for that one. This is, I think, the second or third year they've run it. They're very relieved, the people running at Panthers. The lunch was going to happen no matter what. So we could have had a, you know, Melbourne Warriors luncheon. But there'll be a lot of fun there as well, a lot of sponsors getting together for that one as well.
Love it.
But yeah, just on that, the Evan Theatre event, that is also happening on grand final night. So there's you can get a reserved table seating with prime view of the action. 2.5 hours of beverages, finger foods, live entertainment by Tahir. He'll be there.
Oh, yep. Big fan.
He is a big fan, and lucky door prizes as well. So you get your tickets there from the Panthers website as well. Now, also, I believe that outside in the backyard bar is going to be a paid event this year, because obviously they're expecting big numbers, so you can book your tickets on that as well. Panthers will be interesting afterwards, because I've got to say, last year it wasn't as busy as you sort of would have expected. So I'm not sure what people are planning on this year, but either way, it'll be reasonably busy. I know that Mulgoa Road is closing for a period of time post-game. That has been confirmed. So there will be a closure of Mulgoa Road at some point. So,
Well, no doubt you'll make your way into the private function like you did last year.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens there. But look, the players will come back to the club, but there is no traditional, like, old days kind of vibe where
Crowd surfing
and the Premiership Trophy and all of that. So, you know, you're not really hanging around for that. That will happen the next day, I'm sure. If Penrith win the competition, we'll probably be back at BlueBet Stadium on the Sunday morning.
Monday morning,
which will be a public holiday, of course, and all still in school holidays. So, plenty to look forward to. There is so much on. I like what you said about just soak it up. You know, watch every edition of NRL 360, watch 100% footy, listen to the continuous call team on Saturday when there's not even a game on. Like, you just really got to soak it up.
Yeah, you do, because it's so exciting, and it's great when people are saying good things about your team. So it always gives you a bit of a boost. So, yeah. Do whatever you can to get involved in grand final week.
Now, at the start of the podcast, we mentioned that you had a pretty big revelation.
Oh, yes.
To make a massive announcement.
Yeah.
So, you know, with no further ado, here it is.
So no one actually knows about this, Troy.
Mm.
So this is, you know, a first for everyone, but I'm going to take something out of my wallet.
Okay. What's he got? Oh, a bit of dust flew up.
And... So on Friday, I went down to the TAB at lunch.
Oh, okay.
And put $10 on the Melbourne Storm to win.
Oh, this is a disgrace.
Now keeping in mind, I don't really
bet. You suggested to me on Friday you may do this.
And you said no.
I said that'd be a disgrace.
And then I got talking to someone else who loves betting here in the office, and we all knew who we're talking about. And he said, go down, son. And those odds you're not going to get again. So Melbourne were paying $4.80 to beat Penrith on... Friday, so I put $10, could have won $48.
Yes.
But I can safely say that I'm very glad that, you know, I didn't win.
Yeah.
So on the camera, on the microphone.
Yep, there it goes.
Ripping up the ticket. It was worth it. $10 was worth it.
Oh, that was...
Because we made the grand final.
You could have really hurt the juju there.
Could have hurt the juju, but didn't. You know, it only cost me $10.
Well, okay, it is. You know, all right,
to ease the pain, just in case they did lose, I could have just went snuck down there in my camouflage and
all right. Well, look, not happy about that decision.
No, it was all for the theatre of the podcast.
I'm sure everyone's thrilled they waited 45 minutes for that.
I'll be doing it this week. I think Penrith are like $1.80 favourites or something.
We're talking about the betting markets and gamble responsibly, of course. I think Penrith are $1.65,
okay,
Brisbane $2.20. So Penrith are favourites.
Yeah, so those odds aren't good enough for me.
Probably the longest Penrith odds there has been for some time.
Right.
$1.65. I don't know when Penrith have been $1.65. It feels weird to say that. But then we'll see how the market goes during the week. That might close in a bit.
It could for sure.
All right, time for final predictions. Uh-oh. How do you see it going? Penrith by how many, if you are tipping Penrith? But also, who wins the Clive Churchill medal?
Ooh, okay. Well, firstly, I have to say Penrith will win. I think we'll be up at halftime. It will be close. Because grand finals are often close, except for last year when we played the Eels. But I think this one will be a close one. I think Penrith will get up by 8 to 10 points.
Okay.
I think Brisbane, if anything, will maybe score a try or two, but I think we will be able to outscore them and outdefend them, and that'll, you know, get us the victory, hopefully.
Okay.
Clive Churchill medal, I'm going to say Nathan Cleary.
All right, well, I am going Penrith to win in extra time.
I think
this grand final is very, very close.
I'll die in my seat.
And I've got the grand final going to extra time. I don't think it'll get all the way to Golden Point. I think Penrith will win it in extra time via a try. So I don't think it'll be a field goal.
Imagine?
I think a Penrith try in extra time to win the grand final. And I'm going to go Isaiah Yeo as the Clive Churchill medalist, because I just think that that he's had a great season, a really, really dynamite season, and he can really cap it off. I mean, Brian Tutto, you know, a lot of people are talking about him, like, but a winger's never won it.
Well, I think if they were giving out Clive Churchill medals last Friday night, he probably would have won. We're so lucky to have him. He was bloody brilliant.
We are indeed, but do they dare give it to a winger?
Average winger, you know. He's not the average winger that just gets the ball and scores. He does so much more than that. And I think if a winger was to win it, it would be him.
Well, you've got my prediction. Extra time. Isaiah Yeo to win the Clive. We'll come back early next year.
I hope you're wrong. I don't think I can handle an extra time.
All right. Well, yes. Well, the person you'll be sitting with definitely wouldn't handle it. In Peter Lang, who, of course, will have a column this week in the grand final commemorative edition, but he definitely wouldn't handle extra time in the grand final.
No. He'll be heading to hospital straight after the game.
All right, well, look, enjoy your grand final week. It is going to be a spectacular week. The Panthers and the Broncos, Sunday, October 1, 7:30 p.m.-ish. And it's look, it's going to be pretty exciting. We've got the AFL grand final this week as well. Yep. Unfortunately, no GWS, but it's a weekend for the couch / our big stadiums. Looking forward to it. Nathan, enjoy your week.
You too.
All right, and everyone, enjoy your grand final week, and we'll see you post-grand final for all of the coverage, but make sure you stick around to grandfinal.westernweekender.com.au for all of the bits and pieces with grand final week, and enjoy your footy.
Let's go, Panthers.